This is the Home Tech Podcast Show number 56, recorded on December 29th, 2011, almost the last day of the year. And we were talking earlier in the show, happy birthday to the Average Guy Podcast Network. On December 2nd, we celebrated a year. We kind of missed talking about that when it came around, but a little milestone for the podcast network. And of course, I appreciate all the guest hosts who've joined me over the last year and worked with us to make this a fun podcast. So hope you've enjoyed it, and certainly I have as well. We, of course, always broadcast live from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in today. Kind of a warm, we have 50-degree weather for December 29th, 50 degrees. I did a run outside. It was fantastic. So it's great to see some sunshine, although I know we are going to pay for it with some snow coming up here. You never get this stuff for free. Of course, we post the show every week out at theaverageguy.tv. You can contact the show, send me an email, podcast@theaverageguy.tv, and I always appreciate your questions or comments. And if you ever want us to cover something in particular, you can send me an email and we will talk about it. You can also follow me on Twitter, just at Jay Carlson. You can also find us on Facebook or on iTunes just by searching for the Average Guy Podcast Network. And if you're on iTunes, and this is really hard to do, and Mike, you've said this as well, it's tough to get people to leave comments on iTunes for whatever reason. And because I think podcasters don't ever go back into iTunes, or podcast listeners don't ever go back into iTunes once they set up the feed. Do you think that might be the case?
I think that's what it is. They never look back. They probably don't even have an idea how to find it again.
Yeah, you might be right. And so if you are out there and you see a place to leave a comment, of course, that always helps with the search rankings when you do that. And we have all the links that you ever need. If you got a new iPod or an iPad or a new iPhone, and there were some 6.8 million iPhone and Android devices activated on Christmas Day or the day after, some ridiculous number. If you got some kind of new device, we have all the links that you'll need out at theaverageguy.tv, and you can get that content automatically, in most cases, automatically downloaded right to your device. Never miss a show and listen to it every week. Of course, you can join us live Thursday nights, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Pretty good time. We're in prime time. And come out and you can join us, theaverageguy.tv/live. All right, well, a couple of the guys that are normally with me every week, both Christian and Andrew, are off on holiday. We gave them a break this evening, and I brought in some of my trusty backups. Of course, a guy who's been on the show, John, you've probably made the show a bunch of times this year. I'd say at least two handfuls, John Zadler. And, of course, John is my partner in crime over at homeservershow.com. John, how you doing?
Doing good, Jim. Happy anniversary for your 1 year at the Home Tech Podcast. And congratulations on also on the warm weather. You said 50 degrees.
50 degrees, yeah. Jeez. 50 degrees today.
We got minus 16 Celsius today. Oh. They said hide out, stay in the house. Tomorrow
really?
It's only going to be minus 8, so it'll be half as cold.
What is that in Fahrenheit?
I don't know. It's 16. It's probably 16 degrees lower than 32, because you at 32 is freezing, right?
Yeah, so
right.
You're in the teens, right?
Yeah, you're in the teens.
Okay. Teens Fahrenheit. So it's, wow. Yeah, and that's kind of interesting how we can be so much warmer. We're not that much farther south than you. But for whatever reason, we're getting some beautiful weather. And you know it's going to stay. I've got 55 degrees tomorrow, and it's looking like we won't even get back to the 30s for another couple days. I have a trip across Nebraska into Colorado tomorrow, and I'll be making that trip out to my brother's place in Colorado Springs. And so what a great day to travel across, although I think I'd rather be outside, but a great day to travel across the country. John, thanks for joining us tonight. You're always good at the last minute. Hey, can you join us for the show? Appreciate it.
No problem.
Another last minute entry, and of course Mike has been on the show a lot as well in this last year and has joined us here. Mike Coward, of course, he runs JPEG to RAW, the podcast over at jpegtoraw.com, and as all things photo. Mike, how are you doing this evening?
Doing great. We were 55 today. At least that's the temperature I had in my truck when I was driving home. 55.
Yeah, it's perfect. That's perfect running weather. I went out we did a 4-miler outside, short sleeves and shorts. Yeah. And on December 29th, I was like, guys, it doesn't get any better.
Yeah, I think we had our first below freezing night of the season. It was 28 degrees, so I was a little bit surprised at how hot it got, warm it got today. But
that's pretty cold for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's more normal that we would have that temperature. 55 the end of December is not
necessarily
that normal.
Yeah. Is it it's a little colder or a little warmer?
is warmer than usual. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So some of us here in the United States are experiencing some great weather, John. Sorry that you're not. And then another guy who, of course, is over at Rich's Random Podcast Generator and has been at my right hand for a lot of the podcasts as well, and that's Rich O'Neill. Rich, how are you doing, and how's the weather there in your neck of the woods?
I'm doing well, Jim, and the weather, it was in the teens today, steady, okay. Nice cold breeze everywhere I was walking, yeah, beautiful.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and you're out in the tip. You're out in the tip. You're not far from John, right?
I mean, we're South Canada. Yeah, Maine. Yeah.
So you're getting the cold weather. We're getting some unseasonably warm weather, and it's kind of nice. I'll have to admit. And so it made for a nice Christmas. You guys have a white Christmas, John? Rich, you guys, either one of you have a white Christmas?
Yeah, we had some snow. We had some snow, but you know what is it? It's on New Year's there that you know everybody jumps in the water in the lake.
Oh, really?
Yeah. <You know? laughs> The polar club, right?
Well, they said, like I said, minus 16 today. Tomorrow is supposed to be only minus 8. So hopefully as the weekend gets closer, it'll warm up. But
warm
I
up.
It takes a long time to warm up.
That water won't warm up very fast.
No. I've done some crazy things in my life, but I'm not going to jump into freezing cold water in the winter just because. that's too much. My kids took a trip down to Kansas City, and they did some... You know, Kansas City's got these limestone caves that they've dug out and mined, and they make big storage facilities out of them. And this one in particular had flooded years ago, and they just kind of leave it, and the kids jumped the fence, went in there. You can do some canoeing, some paddling and stuff. And I just thought, it's warmer in there than, well, it's probably colder that day than outside. But I was like, I don't feel like getting wet. So I stayed home. I wasn't feeling well anyways through Christmas, but... I would not take the polar bear plunge, that is for sure. Well, speaking of taking the plunge, Christmas came and went, and of course we all took the plunge. I kind of wanted to go around the horn and ask you guys, how was Santa for you, and did you get any cool tech gifts that you either were or weren't expecting? John, anything Santa bring you, or did you, and it can include anything you bought for yourself. So.
That's right. I was my own Santa Claus, so that's why. Well, you guys helped me get those Media Smart servers, so I got my hands on those. I've been playing around with them while it's been quiet. So that's about it. Just hanging around with those things, and I gave more gifts. Definitely, I gave more gifts than I got.
Oh, that's nice. It's better to give than receive, right? But it's pretty sweet to receive.
Yeah, it's pretty. I bought a lottery ticket there. I for $50 million there, but I didn't win. I'm doing a podcast, so if I would have won, I don't think I'd be here.
You're gonna call in Rich to the podcast if you win it, you'd stop being on the podcast.
Oh man, that's ridiculous. You'd have to do it. Just the philanthropic, you know.
Yeah.
Heck, I would have a studio better than Leo Laporte's if I won it.
Oh man, would you? Would you build a studio like that?
I don't know. That's
that'd be pretty tempting.
What I say now, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's cool. Well, so John, the microserver, those are HP ProLiant, right? HP ProLiant microserver and 40Ls, just for folks. We've talked a lot about it on the Home Server Show, not much on ours here. Those have dual core 1.5 gigahertz processors. They came with 2 gig of RAM and a 250 gig hard drive, and they were $250, at least here in the U.S. $250, pretty good deal. You can't, it'd be hard to find a deal at Best Buy like that for just a regular PC off the shelf.
Yeah, it's nice to see that they're finally coming around to the States. That's it, because it was the UK guys for the, you know, since September, they've been always getting these $100 cash back for those machines, and everybody's waiting for in the US for for these cheap servers, and finally, but that's it, because one of the nice things is it doesn't include an OS, so you can put whatever you want on there. You can put Windows 7, FreeNAS, PFSense router, you can do whatever you want to those boxes. So you know you save because of not having to pay for the OS.
Yeah, and they have a 4-bay removable drive. Four drive removable bay. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but you can put the drives in and out of there, and it's a very cool little box. John, with you having two, it's kind of nice because you've robbed parts from one to beef up the other, and you're really going to get a good run on those. And so for the $250, they've got a deal going right now, $299, same box. You get an OCZ 60 gig solid state drive. So you figure if it was $249 before, they were throwing in Windows Home Server before, but that's basically free at this point. So I always figure you get that additional OZZ solid state drive for about $50. That's a pretty good deal. If you got $300 and you want to try out Windows Home Server and you got a TechNet subscription or you want to do something different, it's a good little box for $300.
Yeah, I see you remind me there's a forum called the AV Forum. It's a pretty popular forum, and a lot of these guys are actually throwing some kind of Windows 7 on there, and they're using them as media center boxes. You know, they're putting all their, basically they're not really using the home server software. They're using Windows 7, but they're using it as a storage to keep all their media. And because at least with Windows 7, you have built-in Windows Media Center, and you have the home groups and all of that work, and so you can, if you put all your content on that box, then throughout your network, on the Windows 7 machines, you can just use the home groups and start sharing all your content with everybody there. So a lot of these guys are working on that and updating the BIOSes and stuff like that.
Are they going to raid? Are they raiding those drives then to the four-bit? They keep one for the OS and put the others in RAID, or do you know the configuration?
Yeah, all kinds of stuff there. That's it. These guys are that's it. They're modifying the BIOS so that they can do some kind of changes with the RAID and switch to ACHI mode.
Yeah,
and it's all kinds of crazy stuff. It's so much different, things to read there. It's
Yeah, well, we talked with Christian last night. It's too bad he's not here. He's out with family tonight. But we talked with Christian on the Home Server Show last night. He took a look at that BIOS for you. Of course, he runs bios-mods.com, and that's all they do is modify the BIOS. And it sounded like he had some pretty promising leads on some changes he could make to make that box even a little bit better.
Yeah, there's some hope there, because that's some of the things. There's memory timing. There's something to do with the when you add the CD drive, it actually runs by default at a slower speed. So you'd want to bump that up a bit. The sleep functionality doesn't actually go to sleep the machine.
Yeah,
so you want to be able to. Yeah, it doesn't actually sleep, but it doesn't take a lot of power. But still, you'd like to be able to have a couple of these tweaks going. And so some of these guys are working on it. Christian will have a look at it and stuff. And apparently, from what I see, is like HP even gives you like a bit of a software, and you can do like an online update of the ROM. So it's pretty cool that. That you hit a couple of switches, it goes online, it grabs the BIOS update, and then you can either put it in on a USB stick or flash it right away. Like, they really try to make it user friendly in that respect. So,
John, you haven't been super impressed with the processor, right? I think we just want to warn people: it is a low power processor that is not necessarily the speediest thing in the world. So. I get Skype running off of it. I'm actually using it right now. This video that you see is coming right off that box. So powerful enough to do this. As soon as I start the video, like the Procaster on it, it just brings it to its knees. So, right, same experience. That's not a speed demon, right?
Yeah, well, that's it. If you're going to try doing some transcoding, while you're watching a video, and then you're opening and closing a bunch of windows and stuff like that, like as far as multitasking, no, don't do it. Unless there's a change, unless you put the 8 gigs of memory, and I see a difference in that. But I did see a jump in performance when I went from the 2 gig to the 4 gig, but it's still not there. I would say it's about 75-80% of what I would expect it to be.
Okay.
So, sometimes you want it a little bit quick, but again, it's a cheap machine, and if you're going to, once you have it all set up and like the dust settles and then it's just sitting there doing its thing, whatever it wants to do, whatever you need it to do, then it'll run just fine. And it's low on power, so that's a great thing.
And I would go with 4 gig instead of the 2 that comes with the cheap model, and I'm in the process of buying that RAM, but... Yeah, good little box. We'll have a post either probably not this weekend, but maybe next week over at homeservershow.com. We'll put out the video that we recorded last night that has you breaking that thing down. So, pretty cool. All right, thanks, John. Mike, Christmas, did you get what you wanted? Is there anything you didn't get that you wanted?
Can we count my truck as part of it?
You did get a new truck. How are you liking that truck? I mean, it's not super tech, but how are you liking it?
I was thinking of asking my wife if we can move further away from work so I can have a longer commute in and home. It's the best part of my day is a drive into work and a drive home away from work.
Yeah, pretty comfortable, huh?
Yes, I'm still loving the thing. Although yesterday I did have to take the temporary tags off and put on the regular license plate. So it's I guess it's no longer new.
Was it painful to license and register that thing in the state of Georgia?
You know, no, it wasn't. I actually went to do that yesterday, and I went to the first place, and the line was out the door. So it was probably a two-hour wait. You know, DMV is just, you know, government at its worst. So I decided to try another location close to my house, and I walked in, and there was only two people in front of me. I walked up, and I handed the lady my old license plate, and I went to get my insurance card, and she goes, "Oh, is this for the Tundra?" And I said, "Yeah, it's for the Tundra." She goes, "Okay, that'd be $5." Handed her $5. She printed something out. I was done. I was probably in the place for the entire time, maybe 5 minutes.
Wow, nice. But you pay sales tax, right, at the DMV there in Georgia?
Not sales tax. You pay a ad valorem tax once a year. So I'll be getting that. That's your birthday present. You got to do it in your month of your birthday.
Oh,
so, yeah, I'm sure that tax is going to go up this year with the new vehicle.
Yeah, we here in the state of Nebraska, you pay a sales tax, which is 7 or 8% of the vehicle price. It gets a little steep when you go to, you pay it when you register it.
We pay it when we buy it. When you bought the vehicle, you had to pay sales tax.
Okay.
And then and that's a one-time event. And every year you got to pay that
ad valorem tax. You pay that at the DMV here in the state of Nebraska.
Oh, okay.
And they collect it, and so that DMV bill, you know, you I wish they just collected it when you bought the car and they included it with the price, and you know, you didn't think about it that way. You get there and it's $2,000 or $3,000, you know, and you're like, oh, can't take
some. Really? At least if you get it on your payments there.
Yeah, so that, here they add it to the price of the vehicle. So there, you can have it separate.
Not here in the state of Nebraska. Yeah, you have them do it, but you do pay that sales tax.
Do you guys sell a lot of vehicles in your state?
Oh yeah, yeah. You just get used to it, right? You just do it. Well, sometimes what they of course they've gotten smart and they fill out the sales tax form for you, and then that's included in the lending, and they give you that money for to pay that, right? That's how they lessen that blow.
Yeah, that would be hard if not.
Yeah, it can be, you know, but that's on all vehicles, not new, but used, you know, so you buy a $1,000 used vehicle and you're paying 7% or whatever it is. I'm not sure what it is, but
we call
Nebraska the tax me state, and they tax us on just about everything here.
Nice.
It's pretty brutal. So, okay, so your truck, any gadgets, Mike, that you
know? All of my stuff is going to be that I got for Christmas is photo-related, so I don't know how much we want to go over that. But I did, you know, skipping the photo stuff, I did get something that we talked about the last time Rich and I were on, I believe, and that was the Kindle Fire. I went into Best Buy. Oh, by the way, that's a place where my truck is not so awesome. Parking lots with bunches of vehicles.
Yes.
You're a little
hesitant, right?
Yeah. A big full-size truck is not that great in here. But anyway, went into Best Buy, and they had, you know, the Galaxy Tab, the 10-inch, so I think the smaller one they had, too. They had the iPad. And those are beautiful devices, but they cost a lot of money, and I wasn't willing to spend that. So I looked at the Kindle, and it actually seemed to, you know, work fine for me. I didn't have the issue that Rich was talking about where, you know, maybe it's just the way I do it. I didn't have the problem when I would swipe over that it would go too far. It seemed to be working fine for me. And it seemed responsive, and everything I was trying worked pretty well. So I bought that and gave it to my wife. And it is, you know, it's a little early because it's, you know, we're only a few days away from Christmas to see how she likes it. But the you know, one good sign so far is every time I see her on the couch or I come home from work, whatever, she's using the thing.
That's good.
And she's actually now she's going to keep her regular Kindle in her car and use that when she's out on the road and keep her new, you know, Kindle Fire here at the house because it's Wi-Fi only. And the books sync between each other.
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
So, you
that's
know,
that whisper,
she left off.
Whisper sync.
Yeah, the Whisper Sync's in the regular Kindle. The Kindle Fire that we have is Wi-Fi only. So, but when she's at home, she's got Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's able to go to Facebook and do some other little things like that. I also got my son the Kindle Touch. My youngest son got him the Kindle Touch.
How does he like that? I know that didn't get great reviews.
You know, and I read those too, and I knew it's not the best thing. It's fairly cheap. I think it was like $99 or $79, whatever it was. But, you know, he's a 12-year-old little boy. You know, how much is he going to complain?
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah, he's got his first little book on it, and he's reading it, and he seems to like it so far. is better than anything he's had before. So I think, you know, given his experience, it's a good device.
Mike, can you download and listen to podcasts on Kindle Fire? Have you tried that? That's a good question.
You know, it does have an app store. It's not the regular app store that I'm used to on my phone.
Right.
But I think it's an Amazon app store.
So and it's Android-based, right?
Yeah. You know, what I should do is look and see if it has BeyondPod, which is what I use, or some other podcast catcher.
Yeah, you ought to check that out. It'd be interesting to see what the podcast experience would be like on that.
The one thing is it doesn't have a ton of storage space, because I think it's meant more for using cloud and that kind of stuff. So, you know, while my phone is filled with podcast stuff right now, she would have to have more limited.
Yeah, well, you could just have her listen to your podcast, right? That's the most important thing.
There you go.
BeyondPod.
She can get the video large. Is that Fire there?
I'm just looking here. It says, I believe it is.
Zadler's
somebody says it is.
John's showing us something. What's that, John?
This is called this is a Canadian version. This is called a Kobo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's a touchscreen. I guess like the Kindle, you got the one there. The screen's a little smaller, like a 6-inch screen, and then you got like a big black button that you use for navigation. This one's the 7-inch screen.
So that's e-ink.
Yeah, e-ink. So it's off, but yet you see it's cool. That's what's nice about it. I mean, no, obviously you can't read it in the dark. You need like a light to shine. Unlike I guess the Fire, which is a
backlit
like an iPad. Yeah, it's got. Screen, whatever it lights up. It's a light, but this one has Wi-Fi in it, and then I think it's got a micro SD card or something, so you can put some books on there. That's another thing I was playing around with.
Is that Wi-Fi, John?
Yeah, this one's Wi-Fi, but it's Wi-Fi like I think you can only connect to whatever the Kobo bookstore.
Oh, okay. So it's like the WhisperSync. Okay. For the Kindle, which goes across 3G. That's the Sprint network it uses to.
And what are there, like three Kobo bookstores in Canada?
Yeah. just one big one, probably. That's it. But Rich, I was using a software there that I installed on my server I've been playing around with called Calibre or Caliber. Have you heard of that program for
Caliber?
Yeah, Caliber.
No,
I haven't.
Yeah, you can download, you know, wherever you get your books from the library or whatever, then you can put it on your server or whatever. And then I think that's it. Because it goes to like a web page, it actually tries to go to like their site, right? But because it's Wi-Fi and it goes through your internet connection, you could actually, you know, fool it into saying that the website is my server. So you actually redirect the traffic to your server, and then you have all your books, so then it can go through the books and pick what you want, and you download it to the device that way.
Yeah, a lot of the public libraries are offering that now, and I just looked that up this last weekend. In Nebraska, we have a service called OverDrive, and many of the public libraries are subscribed to that. I went out to download some audiobooks because I was going to listen. I wanted to see if I could listen to something on my way out to Colorado. It's a 9-hour drive, and I thought, well, I can get through a book or two during the trip. That'd be cool. And they don't have any available. I mean, all the books are signed out. So what that tells me is everybody's figured that out maybe, and it didn't. Or the libraries aren't ready for the necessary traffic that's coming to them. But
all the digital books are signed out.
All the audio books are already taken, and some of them, like one that's based on that movie, The War Horse, is that what it's called?
Oh, yeah.
The audio book for that had 12 people waiting to...
That's what I found surprising is these audiobooks or these e-books or whatever. It's like, you mean they're out? Like, you know, just the make 50 copies or 100 copies, you know?
They're restricted. They can only, you know, the part of the agreement is they can, it's like a physical library. They can only have as many as they purchased.
Yeah.
So, Rich, you'd said, you see that BeyondPod's available on the Kindle Fire?
I was just reading it was, yeah, I guess so.
Well, I'll be trying that out. Although my wife was a little reluctant to let me fool around with her stuff.
Hey, I bought it for you.
Ooh.
I bought my son an Apple Mac there for school when he started college, and he doesn't let me touch it.
No, yeah.
That up to the home server. You know, like I put Windows 7 like a
dual. No, Dad, don't touch it.
You know? I think it goes
Rimmel, dude.
He knows you're a Windows. He knows you're gonna hack it, John. That's what the problem is.
Well, Dad, my situation goes back to when I got my wife her first and probably the last time I bought an Apple product, the Apple iPod Touch. and I started downloading fart-making machines and machine gun sound things, all those kind of stuff, and it loaded up her iPod with all those things.
Yeah, one of the first apps I downloaded for the iPod was Gunny from Full Metal Jacket, saying his little quaint little sayings he's got there.
Little soundboard?
Yeah, you know, I mean, if you've ever heard seen Full Metal Jacket, a lot of things that you might have heard, you'd be surprised. A lot of sayings, you know, they're pretty colorful, let's put it that way. Yeah. And they came from Gunny.
Well, that wasn't a funny movie. The first parts of that movie were some of the funniest of all movies.
Oh, yeah.
That's really like two movies in one, that Full Metal Jacket, right? You got basic training, and then you have them going to Vietnam, and that's a completely different...
Yeah.
Anyways. Okay, so let's see. Mike, all right, anything else, Mike?
Yeah, no, just photo stuff that you guys aren't interested in.
Okay. and if they're interested, are you going to talk about some of the stuff that you got for Christmas over at JPEG Raw?
We did.
You did already?
Tuesday. We did Tuesday,
right, yes. So if you're interested in... catching that content, head over to jpegdurod.com and listen to show number
22.
And is that out?
No.
Okay. Oops.
I'm doing this instead.
Nice. Yeah, I did steal you away from your editing time, so well, I appreciate that. So, but it'll be available maybe this weekend.
Yeah, yep, that's what I'm shooting for.
Good stuff. Rich, what about you? Did you get anything, any cool gadgets?
I didn't. I got a lump of coal for Christmas, man.
What?
I've been bad all year long buying stuff all year long.
I was kind of in the same boat.
Yeah, no, I didn't get anything, any cool gadgets for Christmas or anything like that. I just basically, I actually had a very good Christmas because this was a low stress year. I proposed to my daughter. I says, how about we take you out and you buy what you want to buy? You know, shoes, clothing, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'll stand at the cash register when you come up with whatever you come up with. She's like, okay, Dad, that's good. And then we did the same thing Monday because it's her birthday. It was her birthday yesterday. So Christmas baby, you know.
Yeah.
December 28th.
You know, that's kind of, that always, you know, Christian's birthday is on the 22nd. And I always feel sorry for those guys that have their birthday around Christmas.
It's kind of a drag because, I mean, you know, it's like you get the big holiday, then you kind of have your birthday and everybody, you know, wants to lump everything together. You know, it's not really cool. So
my oldest son's December 31st.
Yeah. So you guys, so you make an effort not to lump it together, right?
We do, but you know, to some extent, he's never minded it because, you know, he does get the separate, basically his grandparents just give him cash because they don't want to have to worry about buying him something. So he can sometimes lump that stuff together and get a bigger gift. So he's always been okay with it.
Yeah. Well, then he's got to go all year, right? I mean, he gets some stuff at the end of the year, but then he's got to go all year.
He's been okay with it, I guess.
Yeah, you get used to it for sure. My birthday's smack dab. I mean, it's May, you know, May 26th, so I'm almost completely opposite Christmas. So that was never a challenge for me. But I always felt sorry for those guys that got.
Yeah.
That got kind of screwed by Christmas.
Well, sometimes when your birthday is like, let's say, I guess July. I mean, July, the warm weather. When you're a kid, I guess it's not so much fun, right? When you're a teenager in school, it's like everybody's like at school, and then the summer's over, like school's finished, and it's like it's your birthday, and you're like, all you hear is the birds and the,
the crickets.
The crickets.
Some crickets.
But at least when you get older and you have your own place, then you have a barbecue and a pool and everything. So I guess...
Wait, we get a pool when we get older?
Well, hopefully you've already bought yourself your pool.
You don't want a pool, trust me. We've had a pool. Those are. You have a pool now, Mike?
No.
Okay. You know, and I know you're.
That's what I'm wondering. When I get older, do I get a pool?
You're in a perfect spot for a pool, but trust me, those are anything with water is just a mechanical nightmare.
Yeah.
And we the kids enjoyed it the first 4 or 5 years, and then they kind of got tired of it, and we ended up taking it down and selling it on Craigslist, or giving it away on Craigslist.
I was thinking one that's built in, so you wouldn't take
it
down.
That's even worse. Yeah. Those are more expensive and they're permanent. You know, rip that sucker out of your yard. if nobody's swimming in it, so it's tough. So, Rich, anything that you've made some purchases this year though that kind of limited you at Christmas time? Anything you're still kind of got your eye on that you didn't get that you're thinking about?
No, not really. I'm I had my eye on the Fire. I was thinking about getting that for my daughter, and I almost did, but after playing with it, and I'm glad I didn't, and I'll tell you why. I'm glad, Mike, it's working out for you, but one of my housemates here she got a new Kindle Fire. So she's, showing me, and she says, "Well, hey, load up, this Scrabble game, Words by Post." So I says, "Okay, I'll play you." So we played a game of Scrabble, and it took minutes. She has an iPod Touch, and she's got them side by side, and it took minutes and minutes for my play to show up on her Kindle Fire. Yes, we were connected to Wi-Fi, and it was coming in just about instantly on the iPod Touch. So, I don't know. But she's already knows that there's something coming in the beginning of January, maybe another firmware update or something. So,
nice. Yeah, I imagine they'll keep improving the firmware on those and the software.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For $200, man, yeah. I mean, it's a great deal. And if they ever get the screen sensitivity, so it's a little bit, it's just too touchy for me, because if I even think about touching the screen, it seems like it just does something, like I did. It's just very easy for me to misfire on that screen, and
I came close to waiting, because for $200 though, that was the ultimate thing that got me. $200. I couldn't pass it up, but I thought about waiting for version 2, because I got to imagine, this is the first shot out the door. Within a year or so, they'll have version 2 out, and it'll be, even better. Because, I keep going back to, you think about Apple, and I guess Samsung too, they must have huge profit margins built into these devices, which is a perfect opportunity for a competitor to come in and undercut them.
Yeah, except I don't think the Fire does.
But it's at $200.
Right.
So I bet you they come up with a improved Fire and a Fire DX or whatever they want to call it. That's a 10-inch or something larger that goes for $399.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have a really, not just a big old fat old app store, but they got to have some quality apps, some apps that you can find. What do they got? They got the Android App Store, right? But do all those apps work on the Kindle Fire? They got to have some quality apps, because if they don't have the quality apps, it's not going to carry them. That's my opinion on it.
I agree.
Might be just another nice device that's an also-RAM, because it just doesn't have the apps.
I bet you Fire 2 comes out with dual core, at least 1.5 gigahertz, two sizes, the current size and maybe a 10-inch, and they continue to improve it and integrate it. And them and Samsung are the two that can compete against Apple on this.
Is the current Kindle Fire not dual core?
No, I don't think it's a dual core.
It's woefully underpowered. But I think that was the intent, right? I think they want it, for price wise, they're already kind of breaking even on the thing. It's a purchase machine, right? I mean, it's meant for buying.
Well, how's the battery power compared to like the iPad?
Well, I don't have an iPad, but I have to ask my wife how often she's having to charge it. She's using it quite a bit, but I don't have to ask.
Yeah, that would be interesting to know, real world, does she have a dock for it, or does she just plug it in?
She just plugs it in. Right, all she has is the little pad that came with it, and that's it.
Yeah. Well, $199, I think it's worth a try if you're not in the tablet space. Rich, to your concern, that is a curated Amazon's App Store is a curated space. They decide what Amazon decides what makes it in there and what doesn't, as opposed to having access to the full App Store.
Oh, okay.
And so this is, the amazing thing about this is I think Amazon is the dark horse in the market, in that we've paid so much attention to Microsoft, Google, Apple, and there's this gigantic retailer. I mean, Amazon is making money hand over fist at this point. They are, they've got a huge, large cash machine, and all of a sudden they're jumping into the tablet space right at the right time. And so there had been some rumors that, I was reading an article today, since we've talked a lot about this on the show, there had been some rumors that HP had tried to sell the WebOS to Amazon for the $1.2 billion they bought it from Palm. Or they bought Palm when they bought Palm. they tried to sell that OS, and of course Amazon said no. I think they're happy and content with Android.
Well, you know, you think about it. You got Android. You got a built-in marketplace already. You just tweak it a little bit for yourself, build your own little thing. But the app's already there. You don't have to go out and encourage developers to build apps for your device. You got
them
already.
Yeah, and then you just take the best apps. You know, you create kind of a process to take the best of Android apps and bring them in, and you've got a pretty nice little space. You're not developing the OS, so you don't have to worry about that. And of course, you know, Google will continue to build that out. I think it's a perfect storm for Amazon in a lot of ways.
I think it is, and I think this is just wave one that they will. I don't know what's happening here now.
Oh, somebody shared their screen of the screen.
Hang on.
Black hole.
Yeah.
we almost created a singularity there.
Oh, my. Oh, yeah, we did.
I could feel myself being pulled into the wormhole.
Jeez. I was going to show you Anandek has a tablet specification comparison, and they got the Fire. The Fire, I guess, is a two... dual core Cortex A9.
Oh, it is a dual core.
Yeah, and the iPad 2 is a dual core Cortex A9, supposedly.
I did not know that.
I thought that processor was underpowered.
I thought it was too.
Yeah.
The other thing that Amazon has done is you know, you think about all the Android tablets out there. There's all these Android tablets coming out, and there's really, in my view, and maybe I'm wrong, but two that stand out, and that is the Fire and the Samsung devices.
Tab, Galaxy Tab.
The Galaxy Tab.
Yeah.
And I think they have the two different sizes. The Fire, though, is going to set itself apart because of its price. Because while I was standing there getting the Fire, there was person after person. I was still trying to decide. Person after person coming and taking one off the shelf on Best Buy. And I watched, and while I probably saw a dozen people buy a Fire, I didn't see one person buy an Apple iPad, whatever it is, or the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. I saw their kids playing with it while they were off doing something else. You know, every iPad there was taken up by a kid playing with it, but everybody was pulling Fires off.
But every kid's mom and dad is getting them a Kindle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, for $200, it's a pretty darn nice device. I need it for me. I don't want to spend $200 on something I know is going to aggravate me. I want it to be like, yeah, you know, this is a great device for $200, you know. I don't want to be aggravated by the UI
If you've already used an iPad or maybe even a Galaxy Tab, going to the Fire may be a disappointment. But if it's your first device, you know, it's not bad.
Well, Rich, and you have there in the window, of course, you know, BlackBerry lowered the price of the PlayBook down to $199, and it didn't create any momentum, you know, like the WebOS did when they cut their prices, you know.
Now does it even have a Netflix app on BlackBerry?
App? And that's the amazing thing, the black hole that BlackBerry has become.
One of the people at work she showed me, her dad bought her a BlackBerry PlayBook, and I said, how do you like it? This is about a month ago, and she's like, oh, yeah, it's really great. It's like, you know, I'm good with this, you know. Then I asked her again a couple of weeks later, and she goes, I don't know, one or the other, I'm going to say it was either Facebook or Netflix she couldn't get, or maybe it was YouTube, one of the three, that she couldn't get. It wasn't available to her on the PlayBook. That's what she said, you know, so she was a little bit down about it. She wasn't so hot on the PlayBook anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think this is the difference between Amazon and where, you know, the direction of BlackBerry. And Amazon's, you know, throws out that same, you know, so throws out a device that has very similar specifications on it. And they dropped the price to $199, and not one of them sells. I bet they haven't sold. I bet BlackBerry hasn't sold 10 PlayBooks in the United States in the last year. I mean, in the last week.
I think everybody just sees them as a dead.
Yeah,
you know, they're Kmart. Yeah. They're going to die a slow death.
Well, but the beauty of the Fire is the Amazon. I mean, is Android, and so it's got a fairly proven OS that's out there, and now Google is touting 750,000 activations a day. Ridiculous number. And I think that's probably a little high. But
The thing that it is, I keep coming back to, and I've been on your show very critical of these guys, but is Microsoft is day after day after day, they're getting their butts kicked. I know. And his market has moved so far beyond them.
Yeah.
They're nowhere. By the time they enter the market, we'll be in round three of the product cycle, and they're just getting in.
Yeah. 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 No doubt. So
they could very well have missed the phone market. They could very well have missed the tablet market.
But you know what, Mike? They'll make more in 1 week of Office sales than Amazon will make in an entire year selling Kindle Fires.
It's true, but I will you know, warn you to
hang
your hat on a product and expect it to carry you forever.
Right.
You know, one of the things you make me think about that's like when Apple came out with their, when Microsoft came out with their Windows Phone, you know, like they had some growing pains. You know, it's like, guys, you know, look at what Apple is doing, all the right things that they did, like firmware upgrades and all this stuff. Like, you know, don't go reinvent the wheel, like do the same mistakes. Look at what these guys are and come out with a good product right off the bat. This is what I would like to see, that, you know, if they, you know, let's say come the new year, you know, let's say the Windows 8, you know, bring that out on the ARM processor, come out with a nice tablet, like give us like an iPad type device, like a slim 10-inch whatever tablet, throw Windows 8 on there. If they come out right out of the chute with a nice form factor and Windows 8 on there, man, I think those things are going to, people are going to be, you know, running in the streets there. It's going to be a fantastic thing. But if they put it on a piece of crappy plastic brick, and it's really slow, and like they've done with the other tablets, you know, I mean, they've already, you know, this is the second or third time that they've been trying to make a tablet type, or what do they call it? They used to call it a slate, you know, and they just didn't get it right. So it's like, now do it right, get some good hardware, put that out there, and then everybody will say, what Kindle Fire, what Android, you know, it's, you know, just the name Windows. You know, and then they know that they can have that and probably port over all their popular apps to it, you know. Then
John, are you a Microsoft MVP or something?
Yeah.
Well, you know, let me ask you this, because, you know, I'm a Microsoft fan, and I want them to do good, and that's what frustrates me so much. But I'm worried about the whole Metro thing. They got it in their phones. It'd be interesting to see a poll of people and say, Is that entice you to buy the phone, or distract you from buy the phone, or are you indifferent? Because me, when I look at it, I still think that looks like an old-timey phone with all those big tiles on there. And you're going to come out with a tablet that's going to do the same thing, and your next OS is going to do the same thing. You know, you wonder if that is a big mistake.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you, Mike.
And I'd like to see a poll done by an independent party. No, not Microsoft, not Android, not Apple. Somebody doesn't have an agenda.
If it was revolutionary, wouldn't it just be flying off the shelves?
That's what I'm thinking, is it's not flying off the shelves. And is it because people only think of Apple and Android? Or is that Metro-style a distraction? I think the actual phones work pretty well. People who have them seem to like it.
And I saw one in the wild, actually, which I was very surprised, a friend of mine. And I was like, is that a Windows phone? She's like, yeah, I picked this up at the store. I had no idea what she had. It just was sold to her, right? And she loved the big tiles, and you know, the People Hub and some of those things that it has. She was like, I love this phone.
Yeah, it's almost like the people don't even know so much. Like, they're not exposed to it. They're so used to Apple. Then if you tell them Apple, iPhone, go buy a phone. The iPhone, that's the only, like, the only thing, the only phone available is an iPhone, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, they're used to that.
You know how you overcome that?
How's that?
Tons of marketing. You gotta tell people about your product.
Microsoft is bad with marketing.
They're horrible with marketing. Yeah.
You know,
so here's the coup, guys. I think this is where, if Microsoft's going to come back and be a competitor in this space, I think this is the only way it's going to happen. So listen, this is a prediction. 2 years from now, I'll either be proven right or wrong, because I think 2 years from now that they'll have played their strategy out at Microsoft. And that is, if they can create a tablet that has all the same security features and manageability of a Windows device. So today, you cannot manage an iPod or an iPad or an iPhone or any Android device, for the most part. You cannot manage that device on any corporate network, right? I mean, you can set some password security things, you can set some restrictions, but you can't limit anything that happens on that device. If Windows can come in with a tablet device that can be managed down to the software, like we manage laptops and desktops today, the corporations will buy those by the millions.
Yeah.
And that will... I agree. That would race
if,
all of a
but
sudden...
That's a big, if.
It's a huge if, but I think it's very possible because of the core of Windows 8. I mean, I think that's the beauty. If someone is actually thinking at Microsoft this way, the beauty of having the core is all the security, the internal security that's already built in. I mean, it's 15 or 20 years of security built into the OS that allows that device to be managed. Apple can't do that. And all the CEO has to say is, okay, you can have a tablet or the CIO. Oh, you can have a tablet on our network. It's got to be Windows.
Yeah.
Bam.
And I think Nokia is a wild card there, too. If Nokia can come out with some really good-looking phones and sell some of those, too, that could be a wild card, too.
Yeah. Well, I think it'll be interesting to see. I don't have a lot. I mean, I'm a Microsoft MVP, too, and I get discouraged when I think about the future. Although, you know, they've got 10 or 15 years. They do control the OS space, and that's, you know, it's not like the enterprise is going to switch over to iPads in the next 10 years. It's just not going to happen.
It's, you know, the funny thing is with our company, our owner is not very technical savvy, but I guess he got his hands on an iPad and he has an absolute love of the thing and wants to start getting more of them. You know, and hey, we need to have all of our head people have an iPad. I think we're actually going to go with an Android based device, but the tablet idea is what he is interested in.
Yeah.
And if you look at, board directors across the nation, I read somewhere that over half of them now use, you know, a tablet device in the board meetings, and that number is expected to, explode up into the majority of them doing it.
But Mike, it only takes one incident with an Android device being compromised.
Yeah, I think you're right, but I think in those cases I just mentioned, it's still being used as a consumption device and not a production device.
Sure.
So, but as that consumption, there's a lot of uses for that consumption device.
Yeah, no doubt. I we're on the verge of a kind of a changeover in the corporate space, and it'll just be interesting to see where it goes. I think Microsoft could pull off a huge coup on this and rocket ahead of everyone else.
They do have a history of letting other people blaze the way and then coming right in, out from under them and steal the market.
Yeah, they kind of do. And I think we're all kind of hoping they do it here in some regards. But it'd be interesting to see. I think 2 years will tell. I mean, I think by then we'll know.
I'm going to bet against it right here.
Okay, yeah.
I'm going to bet against it because of the guy in charge.
I heard on the new server 8 that they're working on, they say that it's supposed to be really pretty, really, user friendly, multiple VMs and all this kind of stuff. It's, it's going to be very easy to set up these servers and stuff like that. They're trying to, attract more non-technical people like that. You don't need so much, an IT guy that, you're holding your breath. You know, it's like, can this guy fix our network problems? We're going to go down. Like, they really want to make it, really easy to get going. So if they're able to kind of, bring that, that information to, let's say, a tablet there, and that's it. And the guy just goes, oh, yeah, you got a network problem here. I'll click, click on your wireless tablet, and everything gets fixed. That'll be incredible to see that happen.
At the same time, though, John, everything's moving to the cloud. So, you're still, the complexity of the cloud is taking care of some of that. I think we're in for a pretty wild ride, and I'm pretty excited about it. I mean, I love the fact that we've got these... all these different OSs on the phones. I love, Sarah. We got Sarah an iOS, an iPhone. I've got the Android phone, and I am loving this new Samsung Galaxy S2. It is fast and speedy, and it's dependable, and it's thin, and it's awesome.
Well, I've told you, I've got two people that work for me that got rid of their iPhones and went to the Galaxy 2.
Oh, it's amazing. It's an amazing device. I think I think the hardware finally caught up to the software is what the deal was on that. So I think there's some things coming. I think it's an exciting time. And here at the Home Tech Podcast, we'll be behind it all, right? Couple things that I have been keeping my eye on that didn't show up. We chose not to really do Christmas presents because I think I'm in the same boat. I buy two.
Did you cancel Christmas for the kids?
No. Just for my wife and I. Just for my wife and I. But I probably should have. No, not really. Just kidding. I got my eye on a Garmin 110 watch, and I do a lot of running, and that is Those are down to about $180, which is for those, the watches used to be $300 or $400, and the GPS prices have come way down. And then, you know, I should have pulled the trigger on the Xbox when it was $140, and I didn't. Yeah. And so I'm kind of waiting to see if that happens again. I would like the Xbox to be the center of our you know, media downstairs. And some of the things that the Xbox is doing is pretty cool as well. And so that one didn't show up. And then a surprise, I told you guys a couple weeks ago, or at least I said it on the show, you know, I'd had a I had an iPod Nano go under recall, which I'd never heard of an Apple product actually being recalled. But they did recall this one. I sent it in. You know, they sent me a box. I sent it in. And yesterday we got its replacement back, and it was an 8 gig. So I sent in a 2 gig old school Nano, and they sent back an 8 gig touchscreen Nano. You know, the square ones that
nice.
Have a little tiny touchscreen on it? Yeah.
For being a loyal customer.
You like that? And this is an iPod. This is an iPod that was sitting in my junk gadget box that, you know, this stuff's going to recycle, right? That yeah. I just hadn't got it to recycle yet, and saw this note on Google Plus that they were doing this recall, and I thought, I wonder if I got one of those, and dug through the junk drawer, and sure enough, we had one, and my middle son's iPod, he uses it all the time, it's been getting real beat up, so we swapped iPod, and there's like a little Christmas present for free, so thanks, Apple. Mike, I know that you're anti-Apple on everything, but they did me right on this warranty return, and I thought that was pretty cool.
You know what somebody should do is run to all the yard sales and buy up all the old apples.
There you go.
I'm telling you.
I'll take that. $5. Yeah, no problem. Negotiate yeah. $5.
Then eBay.
$10. Yeah, I wonder
that's
if...
That's a great idea.
That would have been... I was wondering if the prices on those on eBay went up a little bit. And now that they've started... I wonder if anybody's caught on to that.
You know, I got my kids one of those iPods, but the next version, not the one you had,
yeah,
the second one. So it's like, it's still like, I don't know how many years old this
phone. Oh, like you were just you were a generation off.
Yeah, I was generation off, man. It's like,
damn. Yeah. Well, it pays to keep up on product recalls, I guess, and that was just one of those flukes. Those almost never work out in my favor, and it was pretty cool. So we gave him, you know, I said, hey, you want to switch? And he was like, yeah. Are you kidding me? And so we switched. Nice. Well, we've gone a little bit long. I do want to cover this. I'll cover this one more story, and then we'll kind of wrap it up on this Christmas New Year's edition of the Home Tech Podcast. I saw this article out at Business Insider for a $25. It says this $25 computer, Yes Computer, will be available next month, and it's made by this. It's called Raspberry Pi. It's spelled P-I, Raspberry Pi, a bare-bones computer the size of a flash drive that costs $25. And it can run... I sent that link in there. Did you guys see this?
I'm looking at it right now.
Just in the show notes?
Yeah. 700 megahertz processor.
Yes, it's real, and it's coming out next month, according to a new blog post by developers on the Raspberry Pi Foundation website. This little guy runs stripped-down version of Linux, an open source operating system, and here's the specs. 700 megahertz processor. The iPhone has a 1 gigahertz processor. 800 megs of RAM. The iPhone has 512. They're adding these in just to get you some perspective. You can tell that's not everybody that's a tech, you know, that they're writing this for people who aren't necessarily tech savvy. SD card slot for storage, which is kind of amazing. USB ports and an HDMI port on this thing that's the size of a flash drive, right? Still packs the punch, although the processor is beefy enough to run Quake 3, a first-person shooter game that has some moderately intense graphics.
And there's a video attached to the link.
Yeah.
And they're showing them running Quake 3, I guess with the HDMI out, because it's to the monitor.
This has got to be a hoax, right?
Yeah, what they're not Quake seeing 3. So far, at least in the video I'm seeing, is they're not actually showing the device.
This has got to be a hoax, right?
Well, I've seen these guys. They were talking about that actually on the podcast for Ian Dixon's podcast. And they brought up that subject. And I think there's like two versions. There's supposed to be a cheaper one and a more expensive one. One has, I think, no network connection. And then the other one does. So there's actually two models. But, you know, I could see something maybe like, you know, that size doing some 1080p video. Because, you know, just like the... what is it? Those Atom-based. I think you got one, Rich, right? The little Atom-based PC, right? It's got a Neon processor. It's got the What's that box you have?
It's an Atom processor. Revo?
Yeah, Revo. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, so that's, I mean, the Intel processor by itself, it's Intel, right? Intel Atom. Like that processor, you know, like it can't really do video, but then they add another processor, the Ion chip, that guy does the decoding. So it's being done by the chip and not by, like, you know, the CPU or, you know, through the memory or whatever. So if these guys have like a dedicated chip that'll be doing some video, it's like, sure, why not? I mean, if they can come out with like a, you know, an Apple TV device that can do video, then I could see one of these things doing video. But I mean, how much memory could you put on there? You know, some of these guys have their PCs at home and they're trying to run, let's say, some OS, and you know, they're buying $400 video cards, you know, and then you know, 16 or 32 gigs of memory. You know, I don't see. I don't know. You gotta have everything turned off if you're gonna run Quake or Duke or whatever it is on there.
Did you buy one of these?
Duke.
I'd grab one of these just to take
in
a look
a heartbeat.
At it.
Yeah, I'd order it.
$25.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not? I might order it too. Yeah, I mean, it's. I'm sure you could find some kind of use for them.
And if you go to their website, they do have some pictures of it. At least the board. They have the board.
Interesting.
Well, yeah, I'll throw that out there as we'll keep our eye open on these things. This could be an interesting, you know, development. And you know, remember those? They were trying to get those laptops for every child type deal out there, and you know, they were trying to get them for $100, and that project really never went anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
A $25 PC? Well, I mean, you have to throw a monitor on.
And a keyboard and a mouse.
Yeah, well, that's the keyboard and the mouse. That's the whole thing. Like you said, there, the $100 laptop. You know, that's it. They had to, you know, include the monitor in there. You know, they had to include the keyboard and some keyboards. They were saying some mouse was like, you know, you would tap the keyboards and it was, you know, rickety rack. You know, all kinds of noise. And then the keyboards, the keys would pop off. You know, so it's like,
you know, here you go.
Yeah,
you
know, this is
you're messy. Welcome.
At least this guy is just like the motherboard. You know.
Yeah.
No, welcome. Don't thank me. Yeah.
We didn't say it would work.
We're staying together.
Oh, you are so ungrateful. Oh, man.
Well, guys, with that, we'll call the show a wrap. I do appreciate all three of you coming in on short notice tonight. I know I got to John this afternoon, Mike maybe a half an hour before the show, and Rich like 5 minutes. Before the show, I was like, hey, we need a couple guys to jump in. And like I said at the beginning of the show, you know, I appreciate you guys and all the folks that have made the Home Tech Podcast a success over 2011. We've done 50-plus shows this year, attracted a bunch of viewers. I really don't know exactly how many that is that come in each week. Hey, speaking of that, if you it would be good to hear from you. I don't try and spam people with surveys, or I don't spend a lot of time trying to nail down exactly who's listening and spam you with stuff. But if you have some suggestions, comments, you like to see us cover some stuff, maybe some special segments. That's kind of how Christian's Corner came to be. We got an email from somebody who wanted some more technical stuff, and we created Christian's Corner. In that, send me an email, podcast@theaverageguy.tv, and we'll get those added in. If you got a comment you want to add to it, we sometimes get those read. If you are an aspiring blogger and you just need some place, you want to write one post and put it somewhere, we've got some space for you out at theaverageguy.tv. Just let me know, and we can get it posted out there. Let folks know we do broadcast live every Thursday evening. I had to remember which podcast I was on. Every Thursday evening.
You're on too many.
7 Central, yes. Yeah, that's for sure. 7 Central, 8 o'clock. Eastern, and we post the show live each week out at theaverageguy.tv. Gentlemen, have a great new year. I won't talk to you before January 1st. I'm heading out of town, and actually we'll be shut down and fairly disconnected for the next couple of days. So I will.
So you say. Let's see if
you're
it's
right.
True.
You're probably right. I'll find a way to get some Wi-Fi. I'm actually hoping to do a little bit of writing. I'm going to spend some time with my dad's in the hospital. And I'll probably spend quite a bit of time just sitting in there with him, and I'm hoping to get some writing done as he's snoozing in between his naps. So maybe I'll jump online. Hopefully the hospital will have a little bit of Wi-Fi.
And, or you can use a hotspot on your Galaxy Samsung.
I should. I probably should get that all set up. I haven't, Mike, to be honest. I really haven't messed with the Wi-Fi stuff on my phone too much, and I probably should. But most Wi-Fi is getting pretty common just about everywhere. It'll give me a good excuse to sneak out to Starbucks. And I can never have enough Starbucks. So thanks, guys. We'll call this a wrap, and we'll do it all again next week. And that's it for the Home Tech Podcast. See you next week.
Happy New Year's, everybody.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.